Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. We want to read a few scriptures here today, and I believe the Lord has given us some direction, both for this service and for the service in Nixa today. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today I want to minister to you, and also the subject in Springfield today is the same as the subject in Nixa, just changed it slightly. Amen. In Springfield, as in heaven. In Springfield, as in heaven. Amen. Service in Nixa today. In Nixa, as it is in heaven. Lord, that's what we want. We want it to be in Springfield, as it is in heaven, Lord. Can you pray and believe that with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and worship you. I thank you for the flowing and the moving of your Spirit, God. No doubt in this place there are many needs and situations and circumstances, but God, none of them are too hard for you. And I pray that there would be victory in every life. I pray there'd be healing in every body. I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon your people today. As we worship you, as we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor, have your way in us. Let your will be done in our lives. Let your will be done in this city. Thy will be done in Springfield as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's important in life to ask the right questions. Amen. If we can ask the right questions, we can succeed in anything. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's one of the most important questions we could ever ask. And here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus answers them. And he teaches them one of the greatest lessons ever. I want to tell you, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. It's the key to everything in our life. Our personal life, our family, our church, our job, our finances, our relationships, every problem we'll ever have, every situation we may find ourselves in, prayer is the key. In the Lord's Prayer, we find the words in heaven two different times, Matthew 6 and 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then in verse 10, it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven should be the focus of our prayers. We should not start out with what's on earth, but we should begin with what's in heaven. When we start with heaven, we can see the earth changed, transformed by the power of God. When we start with heaven, the spiritual will change things in the natural. On the other hand, if we just start with what's here on earth, we're going to miss out what heaven is trying to do. We're going to miss what God is doing. Amen. We're going to miss the power of God to transform this earthly world. Colossians 3 and 2 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That means we ought to set our minds on things above. We ought to think about things from above. We ought to focus on the things of heaven, not on the things of this earth. The more we think about the things of God, the more we focus on them and pray about them and talk about them, the more we're going to see them happening in our life. Hey, if we want to bring heaven down, if we want to experience heavenly things in the city of Springfield, then our lives can't be all focused on the things of the world and just expect heaven to be at our fingertips. There's enough people in this city who are completely focused on earthly things. They have no thought for God or His will. They are not seeking the things of heaven. But what this city needs is for those who will put aside earthly things and they will say, I want the things of God. I want His will to be done in this city. I want to see the things of heaven. It's time that we decide as a church, there's too much brokenness in our city. There's too much heartache. There's too much addiction. There's too much pain and sorrow. Somebody's got to bring a little bit of heaven down. Somebody's got to make a difference in this city. Someone has to stand in the gap and to pray and seek the will of God to align with what God wants to do in this city. In the Old Testament, Mordecai told Esther, he said, who knows if you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God puts us where we are for a reason. Amen. You're not here by accident today. God has a purpose for you. Don't think we're in this time and in this place just by chance. No, we're here in the plan of God. You have a work to do in Southwest Missouri. This church has been called to make a difference, to reach the lost, to see people delivered and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and have their life transformed. That's why we're called to stand out. To be separate. That's why the church is not to blend with the world. Because if we're just like the world, what good are we doing? People are sick of the world. They're tired of the things of sin, the trouble, the heartache, the darkness. They're desperate for a change. And we have the power to bring heaven down to this earth through prayer. Through prayer, we align ourselves with heaven and we pull heaven down. Come on, somebody today, you need to speak some things by faith in Springfield as it is in heaven. In my family as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody, in my life as it is in heaven. Every time someone comes to this church, they need to experience heaven. Every time we show up somewhere, they need to feel the touch of heaven. Everywhere we go, there needs to be a little bit of heaven. Come on, somebody. They've had enough brokenness. They've had enough pain and sorrow. What they need today is somebody who's had the touch of heaven upon their life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when we pray, we've got to start with heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are we doing? We're looking away from the things of earth around us, and we're looking unto heaven. That's where our help is. We're setting our minds on things above. We're focusing on heaven because that's what we need in this hour. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I think too many times our prayers are not answered because we're not praying the right things. We're praying our will. We're praying what we think God ought to do. God, give me this. God, do this for me. God, answer my request. James 4 and 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. That's selfish prayers. Selfish prayers. The purpose of prayer is not to persuade God to do what we want. A lot of us sometimes we think that's what prayer is. Well, I'm gonna change God. I'm gonna twist his arm. I'm gonna make him do what I want him to do. And that's what I'm praying for. No, the purpose of prayer is to align our will with what God's will is. And so whenever we're praying for a situation, it's always important to remember, pray and do what you, if you feel like there's a need there, pray about the need. But always say, Lord, but not my will, your will be done, because you know what's best and you order my steps and you're in control. When we align ourselves with the will of God in prayer, then when our will is one with the will of God, that's when we can partner with God. And that's when we can ask him to do his will here on this earth. I want to tell you, God answers that kind of prayer. Heaven moves in response to those kinds of prayers. If we want our prayers answered, we've got to pray in the will of God and be lined up with what he wants to do. Oh, Jesus, what do you want to happen here? How do you want to move? What do you want to do through my life and through my family and through this church? Come on, somebody today, start praying the will of God. Start believing for the will of God. Start surrendering to the will of God. And the more people that will pray that in a city, the more powerful it is. I want to tell you, there is an exponential power when we join together praying the will of God. The Bible talks about how one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. That's multiplication. There's power in unity. There's power in unity. That's why the enemy fights unity. That's why the enemy wants you to be distracted and thinking about other things. But the greatest power in unity is when we're all together in unity with God. Oh, it's time for this church. We need to put aside our will, our dreams, our plans. It's time for us to forget everything about what we think how things ought to be. And we need to get into a prayer room. And we need to start praying nothing but the will of God. God, let your will be done in this church. God, let your will be done in this church service today. Lord, let your will be done in my family. Let your will be done in this city. Let your will be done, oh God. Let your will be done in the youth group. Let your will be done in the marriage group. Lord, let your will be done in the elders. Let your will be done in the pastor. Let it be your will, God. I'm not going to pray my will anymore, but Lord, I'm going to align myself, and I'm going to put my strength and my effort into praying your will, God, because, Lord, I don't know everything. I don't have it all figured out, but if I can pray the will of God, if I can put myself towards the will of God, that I know God is going to do it. Hallelujah. Here's the problem with most of us. We don't pray enough to let our will be broken. Jesus had to do this. Think about it. Jesus had to pray that. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. It's a heavy prayer when you pray like that. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. While Jesus was praying, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." While he was praying this, the disciples were sleeping. While Jesus was praying to get the will of his flesh lined up with the will of the Spirit, the disciples hadn't broken their will at an altar. Their eyes were heavy. You ever been trying to pray and your eyes get heavy? That's what was happening to the disciples. But they had not broken their will at an altar. And Jesus says, "Could you not pray with me for 1 hour?" There's something about an hour of prayer. And he went again and prayed, "The will of God be done." But the disciples go back to sleep. And Jesus prayed it again the third time. Many times our problem is we haven't prayed to the point that our will is broken. And that only happens through dying out at an altar of prayer. That doesn't happen when we're just sitting around kind of talking about the Lord. It doesn't happen when we're thinking spiritual thoughts. No, you've got to get to an altar and you've got to pour out your life there before the Lord and saying, "God, I need you. Work on me, Jesus. Search my heart, God, because I want to be pleasing to you." If you look at what happened when Judas showed up with the chief priest and the elders, Peter pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant because he was still in the flesh, because he hadn't prayed through until his will died out. And Peter had to learn some things the hard way. I want to tell you, sometimes God lets us learn some things the hard way. Anybody ever been there? But oh, how much better to let ourselves be crucified at the cross and to let our will die. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Not my will in Springfield, but your will be done. Come on, somebody, you need to pray the will of God for your family. You need to pray the will of God for this church. Not my will, O Lord, but your will be done. Heaven is the model of what we need to see here on the earth. Now, how do we even know what that's like? We have to learn that from Jesus Christ, from his word, from the leading of his spirit. If anybody knows what's going on in heaven, it's Jesus Christ. God robed himself in flesh. He came from heaven to earth as a man. Jesus is our representative of heaven, and we're trying to match up with his example. John 1 and 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." God is a spirit. God's a spirit. You cannot see a spirit. So what do we look at if we want an example of what heaven is supposed to be? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Amen. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ bodily. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and His life and His example and His teaching, His Word. When we immerse ourselves in those things, we learn what He wants our life to be, what His will is for us in Springfield as it is in heaven, God. Jesus brought heaven down. And I want to tell you, when we are one with Him, when our flesh dies out and we embrace what Jesus wants for our life, we can bring heaven down too. We can bring the supernatural into situations where people are broken and confused and lost and bound. Come on, somebody, you need to realize how awesome this is. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of God in heaven. When you think of ambassadors here on this earth, they go to a foreign country and they represent that country, that nation, that president, that king, you know, whatever it is. They represent them to a foreign world, a foreign country, a foreign kingdom. They represent the president. They represent the king. They represent that other country, that other nation. And so today, sometimes the enemy wants to beat us down until we think we're not anything and we're not worth anything and we have no power and have no ability. I've come to tell you, if you are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a representative of the greatest kingdom there has ever been and ever will be, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And when you go in someplace, you need to realize there's angels that go with you. The blessings of God are upon you. The favor of God is with you. We are ambassadors. We are His representatives, bringing heaven to our surroundings, to our work, to our school, to the people we meet. They've had enough hell in their life. They need some heaven. Come on, they need a touch of heaven. We've got to take this job seriously. And if we can bring heaven down, it has to be through prayer and through becoming one with Him. Sometimes we need to think about who has the most influence. When we're in the world, when we're on the job, when we're at school or in our community, who is having the most influence? Is the world influencing us more, or are we influencing the world around us? When you go to that job and you meet someone or you become friends with somebody there, are they affecting you? Or are you affecting them? Who's having the most influence? Young people, when you walk down the halls of your school, who's having the most influence? Do the others leave that encounter with us with a little more of heaven in their life? Or are we leaving that encounter more like the world and less like heaven? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his favor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Salt influences what it comes in contact with. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Springfield as in heaven.
Lord, let your light start shining. Let your light start flowing. Let it move through me. Let it impact those around me. God, I pray that you will let them see something. Let them feel something. To know it's not just an ordinary life that's touching them, that's speaking to them. But God, it's a little bit of heaven that's flowing through this vessel. And you are using me to impact the world. What is heaven like? The Bible gives us these glimpses of heaven. We don't fully understand it. We can't see it exactly, but one passage is found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." There's a great multitude that's going to be in heaven, and no man can number it. They're worshiping God with the angels. John saw them. I want to tell you, we're going to serve the Lord day and night in his temple. People think, oh, heaven's going to be boring. What are we going to do? We're going to sit around on a cloud playing a harp? No. We're going to be serving the Lord in his temple. We're going to be doing the work of God, whatever it is. And we're going to be worshiping him. We shall hunger no more. We shall thirst no more. God's going to wipe away our tears. That's just a start. But here's some conditions in heaven that we need to be asking God for in Springfield. All right? First, the absolute sovereignty of God. The absolute sovereignty of God. God is in control. Lucifer rebelled. He fell from heaven. And heaven is a place where Satan no longer exerts his control. You see, on earth, he deceives, he lies, he disrupts, he brings fear. But let it be in Springfield as it is in heaven, Lord. Oh, come on, would somebody believe with me for this today? Thy will be done in Springfield as it is in heaven. We don't have to be at the mercy of the devil. Come on, you need to pray for God's will to be done in the earth. Lord, let Satan's will, let his kingdom come down. Let everything that exalts itself against the Holy Ghost, let it be defeated. Let the will of God be done. Let the kingdom of darkness, let it be pushed back. And let there be victory and freedom and miracles and healing and revival in the city of Springfield. Sometimes you got to get a boldness that comes upon you, and you got to face against the devil and against the kingdom of darkness and say, I'm a representative of heaven, and God has given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and I'm pushing it back. I'm pushing forward the kingdom of heaven in Springfield. Hallelujah. Another thing about heaven, the absence of sin. Every day we should do our best to create that here on this earth. First in our own lives, but then in the lives of others. When people learn about the good news of Jesus Christ, it makes them want to leave their old ways behind. They really didn't know there was another way. But when they experience the power of God, His love, His mercy, His glory, it makes them forsake that old life and reach for the new life that God has for them in Springfield as in heaven. Lord, let us live an overcoming life. Let sin be defeated in this city. Let people turn to You, O God. Let them turn away from sin. Let them turn away from the things of darkness. Lord, I pray that You would make people sick at the thought of sin. Come on, some of you, you've been delivered from some sin in your life. And when you think back on it, it makes you sick to your stomach. You used to smoke, you used to drink, you used to do the things of the world, but God brought you out of that. And when you think back on those things, it literally turns your stomach. God, I pray that You would bring people out of sin in Springfield. I pray that You would, Lord, they're planning to go to a club. They're planning to go to a bar, but let them be sick. Let them not even be able to enjoy it anymore. God, bring them out. I pray that You would deliver them. And in the city of Springfield, let us turn to You. I've heard of churches and ministries that got on fire with the power of prayer, and they started praying against clubs, and they started praying against alcohol, and they started praying against these things in their city, and those businesses was shut down. Why not here in Springfield? Come on, somebody get a boldness. God has called us to be the representative of heaven in this city. Then there's the authority of God's word. In heaven, God's word has supreme authority. There's been a great attack on the word of God in our world. From the halls of education, to science labs, to government, and even some so-called churches. The world wants everyone to question the Bible. But Psalm 119 and 89 declares, "Forever, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." In Springfield, as in heaven. It shouldn't matter to us what the world says. We're going to live by the word of God. Come on, we believe it. We stand on the promises of God. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, come on today. You need to get in the word of God. You need to read the word. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. When everything is falling apart around you, you need to quote the word of God to your situation, to your family, to every need. The word of God has supreme authority in heaven, and it should in our lives as well. Don't you know the power of the word of God? When somebody has been reading the word and studying the word, that word, it comes alive in them. And when they go and when they speak and when they touch lives around them, it's not just their touch, it's not just their words, but it's a little bit of heaven that's coming through them. I tell you today, we need to realize the power of the word. If you'll stand with me in closing today. Lastly, God has the complete attention of heaven. All of heaven is focused upon the Lord. It was some 3,000 years ago. Isaiah 6 and 1 tells us, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This was happening 3,000 years ago. It's still happening there today. All of heaven's attention is focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Springfield, as in heaven. In Springfield, as in heaven. The enemy loves attention. It's what got him kicked out of heaven in the beginning. He wanted the worship. He wanted to be the focus of heaven. And today he'll do anything for attention. He'll send distraction, frustration, persecution, depression. Anything to get our attention off the Lord. But Lord, let it be in our life as it is in heaven. Let it be in this church as it is in heaven. Let it be in this city as it is in heaven. No matter what comes our way, we've got to keep our attention on God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Get your eyes on the Lord today. Come on, somebody, you need to get your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at the distraction. Stop looking at the frustrations of life. Don't be overcome by depression and fear. Even if persecution comes, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus in Springfield as it is in heaven. And the more and more that people start looking to Jesus, all of a sudden it transforms a city. It transforms a church. It'll transform your family. You may look at your family right now and all you can see is heartache and trouble and how everything seems to be broken. But you start looking to Jesus. Get your attention on the Lord and God can start moving. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, come on, I'm telling you today, there's power in getting our attention on the Lord. When our flesh will die at the foot of the cross, when we take on the will of God in our lives, when we're living what the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's when we'll start seeing the things of heaven in this city, in this church, and in our lives. You want to see miracles? You want to see the supernatural? Get aligned with the will of God. Surrender to his plan in your life. You want to see revival in this church? You want to see this church to grow? We've got to seek the will of God with everything we have. They may have a perfect song. There's one that's just, I almost sang it earlier. I surrender all. I wonder if we can sing that. Talks about surrendering to the Lord. Not my will, God. Not my will, Lord. There might be a young person here today that you're struggling about your future and you don't know which direction to go. And you've got some plans and dreams, but maybe God is trying to direct your steps and order your steps in a different direction. You need to say, Lord, whatever you want, I will do. There could be some people here today that God's been dealing with you about sin in your life. Things that it's not pleasing to God, but it has such a hold, it has such a grip. At an altar today, you need to put that sin on the altar. Whatever it is, and say, I'm laying it here and I'm not picking it back up because I've got to do the will of God. And when we align ourselves with God's will, as it is in heaven. In my life, as it is in heaven. In this church, as it is in heaven. In Springfield, as it is in heaven. That's when the power of God can flow and move and work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody today, you just make that the prayer of your life? I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my help. He's the one I need today. Oh, I wonder if we could just come and stand around this altar right now and lift our hands to Jesus and sing this song today and commit ourselves to Him and say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Not my dreams, Lord, not my plans, but God, I submit to You. I surrender to You. Let Your will be done in me.